This morning's reading is again from the Prophecy of the New Covenant, chapter 90, Prophecy on the Revelation and the Opening of the Seals. On the first Sunday following Epiphany, the man vowed to God went in company with the companions of the way to the sanctuary in the wilderness regions of the desert to greet the image and the word of God manifest at sunrise. And the clerical community was gifted by God's grace manifest to the congregation at the consolatory, where they all did partake of God's true Eucharist of the Second Advent. Afterwards, they assembled together to give thanks in a communion service of bread and water, as was their custom. Following the liturgical services, the man went to a hilltop to contemplate the events of their 17-day vigil of prayer and thanksgiving. And the voice born of heaven came to him in the loving spirit of Jamiel the child. God will not conceal himself henceforth. God has come down from heaven to speak to men and women in the light of his image. By his word, they may know that his judgments, statutes, laws, and doctrines are good. He has given them spiritual bread from heaven to eat, the image of his being, and the spiritual truth from heaven to drink, the word of his being. Let all dedicate themselves to God and turn from the world and its ways. Let the righteous who may be far from God look upon the image of his countenance and hold to the way, lest they be judged with the wicked. No nation, no person can ignore God's judgment, a judgment that is just and right and illuminates the whole universe. The righteous have prayed for this judgment. The wicked disbelieve it, but none should fear it. The races of the earth, being mortal, are cursed from the womb. They are under the powers of darkness who first turned their ancestors away from God. But now, with the appearance of God's image and word, the righteous may turn to God's mercy and rejoice in their salvation. Darkness shall perish with God's presence, and all wickedness shall be erased. Therefore, let the nations and peoples of the earth return to God's way, for he shall recover the remnant of those who love him, the living who are on earth, and all the spirits of the universe of being, who have awaited his coming, and with it their rescue from darkness. And God shall give new life of soul to all spirits. Recalled by his word, they shall see his image. And out of his love for his created, God shall restore anew that which darkness has taken away. For he is the God of the living. He has never caused death to any living creature. Within the womb of his being, God will conceive new life for the righteous spirits who love him, and they shall be born as new souls created in God's image and filled with his word. A new generation of spirits come forth out of all former generations of flesh to inhabit a world of spirit. And they will have no memory of suffering, pain, sorrow, or death, which are strange to the Lord. The voice ceased as suddenly as it had come, leaving the man alone on the hilltop under the glorious rays of the sun. Motivated by the inspiring voice, the man thought, "Men and women of God living the way together formed not only a new church, but a new people as well. And within the new church, each person was required to be a cleric, living God's way under oath. In this way, people became knowledgeable in sacred teachings and served God before any secular power. A lay community was not able to do this. Therefore, a new church of the Second Advent was a prerequisite to a new world order." He reasoned that even if the whole world were converted to any one of the existing world religions, the world would not change for the better. The world religions, like the peoples of the world, could not of themselves bring peace to the world. For neither the existing religions nor the peoples were at peace with themselves, with nature, or with the cosmos. More importantly, they were not at peace with God. Peace is only possible by the intercession of God through the very powers and forces of creation, namely intelligent and divine light. No human institution could of itself achieve more than human ideals. Peoples, like religions, are divided and in conflict on the international, social, and family levels. Unless people become spiritual, allowing the soul to dominate human thought by divine intelligence or spiritual consciousness, the races of the world would always be rivals and oppose any universality of order instituted by secular or ecclesiastical governments. This tendency, he reasoned again, was part of the human condition, prevalent in human and social affairs. Only a divine power, a force manifest in the sun, indeed in the suns and stars of the whole material universe, acting upon people's inherent spiritual natures, could motivate them to spiritual ends and not to human ends. With the coming of God's divine light, that is, his image and word filling all creation, physical and spiritual, a light endowed with divine reason, the human family must needs turn to that motivating power and force of God by living the way within a structured institution inspired of heaven. And we will now have the blessings.